Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to take us back to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to do a little Bible study-ish comparison. So if you have a way to access the scriptures, either electronically or in front of you in a book, open up to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. And the reason I'm doing this is because Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1, actually verses 1 through 11, marks the beginning. It marks the beginning of the disciples' call to follow Jesus. And then John 21 marks not the end of the call, but a change. We're going to talk about why. So Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, where they were fishing. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of them, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered him, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus' first encounter with Peter on the boat leaves Peter confessing, seeing he's in the presence of a man of God, seeing he's in the presence of what could be considered a prophet, a rabbi, somebody who has done something miraculous. And he falls down at Jesus' feet and begs him to depart, to leave, because he knows he can't be in the presence. He's a sinful man. And Jesus calms his fears and calls Peter and the others who are with him to follow him. That they'll become catchers of people, or catchers of men, or fishers of men, or fishers of people. Whatever your translation says, it's the same idea. They'll be following Jesus in order to get the good news out so that others can follow. That's their job now. So they leave everything. They leave their business. They leave Zebedee, their dad, with all of the work to do. And they follow Jesus. They are called to be fishers of men. Now, jumping to the end, we have Peter once again with Jesus, but this time, rather than falling down at Jesus' feet in fear, he jumps out of the boat and swims to Jesus out of joy. And he falls down with Jesus, falls down, he probably did, coming out of the water with all of those wet robes, probably did. He comes in and he sits with Jesus, and again, it's not fear. It's love. Because Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me? Are you still following me? Are you with me?" And of course, Peter answers, as Peter does boldly, "Of course I am, Jesus. You know this. You know that I love you. You know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus' response three times is, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Take care of those who are in my pasture." So Peter and the disciples have gone from being fishers of men to tenders of sheep. from fishermen to shepherds. Initially, their job was to follow Jesus, to be around him, to learn from him, to hear what he had to say, see what he was doing, and be part of that life. And now Jesus is saying, now's your turn. It's time to go and do these things that I've called you to do. Tend my sheep. Now, these stories are really interesting because they do have sort of bookends for the disciples and especially for Peter. Because they both take place on the Sea of Galilee. They both involve boats and fishing. They both involve a night of pointless toil, which they come back empty-handed. And they both involve a miraculous catch of fish that only comes from Christ. The beginning, and now the next chapter. Going from being fishers of men to tenders of sheep. It's a life change for them. It's not easy. In fact, we open in John chapter 21 with Peter and the disciples, James and John and Nathaniel and all of those fishermen who were there from before, saying, I'm going to go fishing. And it's not the sort of fishing that you do for rest and recovery. It's not fly fishing on some river in Montana. He's talking about going back into business. Leaving this whole following Jesus stuff. Going back to work. For Peter and James and John and the sons of Zebedee, it was the natural thing. With Jesus gone, what else was there to do? They weren't catching people anymore because Jesus was not with them. He wasn't around, and so what else do you do but go back to work? Go back to what you know. Go back to what's familiar. We'll see what happens. So the men in this story, the disciples who have been following Jesus, leave the life that God had called them to go back to the life that God had called them from. It's a familiar story. We ourselves often do that, even in the short term, but sometimes in the long term. Sometimes when following Jesus becomes really difficult, or we don't feel Jesus' presence, we look around the world and we see the shambles it's falling into, and we see, well, where is God anyway? What's the point of all of this? I'm just going to go back to living the way that I was before. I'm just going to go back to the old ways. I'm going to go back to my favorite sinful things that I used to do because they were familiar and at least they were fun. And we fall back. We go back to doing the things that we know we were called out of that. And yet, there we are again. And we can wallow in it all we want. We can wade around in the mess of our former lives, in our sinful selves, and even in that sort of devil on one side, angel on the other, you know, we can indulge because this is hard. Following Jesus is tough. I say that all the time because it is. When a world around us doesn't want you to, when a world around you wants you to go fishing, wants you to take your mind off of the things of God and go back to the things of the world, it's a lot easier to do that than it is to keep our minds on the things of God. It's easy to go back to the old ways. In fact, the old ways are waiting with open arms. They're waiting to bring you back. Those old friends who used to get into a lot of trouble with you, they've missed you. It's time to go fishing, you might think. But we see what happens. We see what happens, right? When we go fishing, when we choose to go back to the old ways, for Peter and the disciples, they once again came up empty. They worked all night long trying to restart their business, and it came up empty. Was this a precursor to what their life was going to be like? Maybe so. They'd work really hard for nothing. So Jesus shows up on the shore. I love it. He's far enough away that they can't tell it's him. And he asks them that great question that you ask all fishermen. Did you catch anything? Knowing full well they hadn't caught anything. Did you catch anything? No. Now, well then, throw your nets down on the right side of the boat. Whether it's technically the starboard side of the boat or the right, not wrong, side of the boat. Right? We can interpret that a couple of different ways. Throw your nets on the correct side of the boat, on the side where Jesus is pointing you to. Throw your nets down there and you'll see. You'll see the blessings of God thrown down on that side, and their nets are so full, they can barely bring them up. Just like that first time when Jesus showed up on the shore again. Their nets were so full they were going to break. But this time, notice Scripture's very clear to say their nets weren't breaking. In other words, they were in the right place at the right time with the right equipment, and Jesus takes care of them. Pulls up all of the fish, and Peter, being Peter, jumps in, swims to shore, and greets Jesus. And Jesus has breakfast waiting. That's such a great... For those of you who have gone fishing before in the early hours of the day and you come back and there's bacon and eggs going, oh, that's a great smell. Imagine the coal fire, fish going, bread toasting. Oh, wonderful. And Jesus has laid it all out there for them. He's prepared the meal for them. He doesn't even need the fish that they caught, although he does invite them to bring some. There's already fish going. Jesus has already set the table for the disciples. And they come and they eat and they enjoy this time with Jesus once again. Peter, do you love me? Or do you love fishing? Do you love me? Or do you love that work in the boat in the middle of the night and catching nothing? Do you love me with a full net, a full life? Or would you rather toil and come up empty? Which do you prefer? And Peter, of course, Jesus, I love you. Which is our response always, right? When even when we're in the midst of the mess, and Jesus in his word or maybe in our prayers and oh, of course we love Jesus. Of course we do, Jesus. You know we love you. Even though I was out fishing, even though I was out doing stuff that you had called me away from, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Care for those to whom you're called. Take care of them. And then those last words to Peter, follow me. He says that a lot, Jesus does, if you've noticed in the Gospels. Follow me. If we were to go on reading in chapter 21, we hear that there were rumors going around that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was going to live forever. We're not exactly sure how those rumors got started, but there were rumors that he was going to live forever because he was going to see Jesus return and all of this stuff. And so Peter says, well, what about John? What about him? Which is something also that we do, right? When we don't want the attention on ourselves, we'll go point at somebody else. What about that guy? And Jesus' response to him in chapter 21 is, don't worry about him. You follow me. Don't worry about what's going on with them and their relationship with Jesus. You follow me. You've gone from being catchers to tenders, from fishers to feeders. Follow me. Jesus invites each of us all the time to follow him, to go where he goes, to take care of those whom he has placed in our care, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, if they are in our care, we are to take care of them, and that's the call. And so today, Jesus once again invites us to follow him. Follow him here today as we gather. Follow him to where he sets the table. That may not be fish and bread or bacon and eggs. It's far better. His body and blood given and shed for us, he invites us, come. Come and have breakfast. Come and eat with me. Come and dine on the food that sustains. And then go feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Tend those who have been placed in your care. And we follow by the Holy Spirit and by his strength given. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.